And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Oprah Winfrey. We're going to talk about Michael Moore and the weaponization of race. Oprah, Michael Moore, and the weaponization of race. Here we are just a few days away from the elections in November, on November the 6th. This is probably the most anticipated midterm that I can remember in my lifetime. I can't remember a time when, the most exciting election cycle for a president was 2016, when all of the predictions seemed to be there for a while that Hillary Clinton was the shoe-in to become our next president of the United States. Most of us could not imagine a Republican challenger who could effectively defeat her until Donald Trump entered into the race. And then everything changed dramatically. And then it's been nonstop debates and coverage and all this other kind of stuff since Trump got in the race. Then, of course, he won. Now he's President Donald Trump. And the left wing, the radical left, has become even more radical, more unhinged. And they see as their only hope at this point, retaking the House of Representatives. It seems like they don't think they really have a chance to take the Senate, although I'm sure they would like to, but they don't really think they have a chance to claim the Senate, at least from the predictions I'm seeing. Most people seem to be predicting that the Republicans are going to keep the Senate, but they may lose the House of Representatives. That's the prevailing thought right now. But of course, who knows? Others are predicting that the Republicans could keep both the House and the Senate. And especially with all of the unhinged rhetoric and behavior and violence and all this other kind of stuff coming from the left. But what's happening is that they are admitting more and more to their socialist, Marxist, communist intention for our country. Now it's like they're casting off whatever mask, whatever cloak, whatever deception they had. They're throwing it all aside because they really recognize that their movement, their leftist, evil, anti-Christian movement in our country is threatened for the first time in a very long time. And now they're desperate to try and reclaim power and hopefully overturn the things that the Trump administration has been doing. Now, as I say that, I don't necessarily think the Trump administration is perfect or flawless or anything. I don't agree with all the decisions that are being made. There are some things that are still where my own conscience as a Christian is concerned, I still have issues with. I think that the Trump administration should be stronger on issues. I think they should more strongly resist the LGBT movement in our country, although there has been at least protection for Christian people, Christian business owners, and so on, who are no longer being sued into bankruptcy and this kind of thing, like what went on with the Obama administration. And that's one of the reasons why I personally supported Donald Trump while he was running for president. It wasn't because I thought Trump was necessarily perfect, although I think he is right now, because he's so bold and he will not allow himself to be manipulated by political correctness. He just smashes through all that. He doesn't care. And he barges ahead with his plan to make America great again. I think that's why many conservatives and Christians supported Trump when he ran for president and why they're still supporting him, because he is unafraid. He won't let himself be manipulated. But nevertheless, we're not trying to say that we think every decision that's been made is perfect. And I say that to my fellow Christians out there. This is more of a strategic support for us as Christians, because I want to see Christianity protected in our country. I want Christians to be able to preach the gospel freely. And my study of history is that's what the reformers wanted. That's what men like Luther and Calvin and Tyndale, going all the way back to John Wycliffe and many, many others, that's what they wanted. They wanted government to operate as the minister of God, to uphold God's moral law, and to allow and to protect the free preaching of the gospel so that Christian people can fulfill the Great Commission, can fulfill the commandment of Christ to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what they wanted. And I believe the Trump administration supports that. Okay, so having said that, let's talk now about this situation with Michael Moore, with Oprah Winfrey. You've got these two people that are, and many others as well, going out. You got all these celebrities. There's a commercial with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio saying, oh, this election is so important. It's going to determine the future of our country and all this other kind of stuff, which is in many ways true. Are we as a country going to be going farther to the left toward the socialist conclusion, which is an anti-Christ conclusion? It's an anti-Christ agenda. There's no question about that. And what they're doing in our country, and we're going to talk about this with Oprah Winfrey, proof that what they are trying to do to our country is exactly what they did to South Africa. Exactly. They used race as a weapon. They manufactured a fake history, came up with a bunch of false accusations against the Christians there who were mainly white, and used that to try and guilt them into basically handing over their country to communists and cannibals, which is what's happened, which is why South Africa is in such terrible condition and is on the brink of a civil war, where the communist government there has just progressively demanded more and more of everything that the Christians have. And until now, they're at the point where they're saying they're going to seize all of the property owned by whites throughout the entire country. Just seize everybody's property. Take it. Why? Because white people shouldn't have it. Now, bear that in mind. I've been saying for a long time now, what they did there and what they're doing there is exactly what they want to do in America. All right, now I want to play a clip, an audio clip of Oprah talking about the issue of race and racism and so on. And this clip has been out there for a while, but this is where Oprah is talking about the older generation who are marinated in the idea of racism. And she says that these people just need to die. But she also relates it to South Africa and the apartheid and Nelson Mandela. Listen.
And there's a whole generation, I say this, you know, I said this, you know, for apartheid South Africa, I said this for my own, you know, community in the South. There are still generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
So notice she mentions Mandela and the apartheid there. Now, typically, whenever the situation in South Africa is mentioned, the impression that we're given is that the only difference between the whites and the blacks there is the color of their skin. What people don't take the time to explain is that the real conflict is between Christianity and paganism. In fact, there's a book, I've talked about it before, called Into the Cannibal's Pot. And you can find that book on Amazon and elsewhere. But the book is called, it's called Into the Cannibal's Pot, Lessons for America from Post-Apartheid South Africa by Ilana Mercer. Ilana Mercer. And it says above, it says, quote, if you want to witness the end result of what in America is called diversity, you must read Into the Cannibal's Pot. Okay, and that's a review from Thomas J. DiLorenzo. So you've got people that have been warning for years that what happened with the so-called diversity movement, with Nelson Mandela, the media portraying Mandela as some kind of hero and this kind of thing. And they didn't tell anybody the guy was a communist and a thug and a murderer. And the stuff he was doing is really no different than all this radical leftist stuff that's happening in our country today. This is false heroism. The guy was not a hero. He was a thug and a murderer. People who are driven by covetousness and they're looking at what other people have and they're saying, we want to go steal what those people have, that's not heroism. That is just a different form of plunder. It's no different than the Viking marauders coming in to rape and plunder and take from the Anglo-Saxon Christians, which they did in the days of Alfred the Great. Okay, King Alfred the Great, who fought against the heathen armies for many years. That's what we're dealing with, brethren. Christians in the Western world need to recognize what's really happening. What's happening is history's repeating itself. The same pagan, heathen forces that saw the Christian world, saw that God had blessed the Christians. The Christians are people of industry. They built a lot of stuff. They got gold. They got silver. They got towns, cities, roads, schools, universities. They've got all of this industry and wealth that God has blessed them with because Christianity teaches industry. It doesn't teach warmongering. It teaches that we work with our hands, that we work to be productive. If any man will not work, neither should he eat. And so the Christian world has always thrived on industry, and that everybody should be working and building and developing, etc., all for the glory of God, ultimately. And of course, we know that Christian civilizations get off track. They become vain. They become selfish. They become worldly. We know that. We have warnings about it, like the church in Laodicea in the book of Revelation. We know this. But when the enemies come upon God's people, it's important that God's people look to the Holy Scripture, that we consider the examples and the warnings that we have in the Bible. I've gone over Isaiah chapter 1 a number of times, where God is speaking to ancient Israel and warning them that their country is under siege, their cities are burned with fire, and that strangers are devouring their country in their presence. And this is a warning of the impending judgment of God because of their sins. And the answer is for God's people to repent, to turn away from whatever sinful behavior that they're guilty of, to test and prove our ways, to make repentance where we need to seek the Lord, and then we will be able to stand against our enemies and prevail. Just as Alfred the Great and the Christian warriors more than 1,000 years ago ultimately prevailed against the heathen invaders. Because that's what's going on, brethren. That's what's happening. It's happening in a different way. It's just a different form of warfare. Now, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to play a clip here recently from Michael Moore, who's basically telling white people to surrender and give up to these minority groups. And basically, it sounds like he's saying, just let them take over your countries. And we'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Reenactments. A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show. Today, right before the break, we were talking about the book Into the Cannibal's Pot by Ilana Mercer. She has another book that she wrote back in 2016 called The Trump Revolution. The Trump Revolution, which, based on the reviews, I have not read the book. In fact, I just saw the title of it. She is actually, and she published this before Trump became president. So she talked about how Trump, at least according to the one of the reviews there on Amazon, it says, quote, Ilana knows that the revolution is not about Trump, the man, but the feelings and ideas he has tapped into and is expressing to a large constituency for the first time in a very long time. And then goes on from there and talking about how the population in America that feels like they were disenfranchised by the left has finally seen in Trump a leader who would actually stand up for America and the values of our country, and that that's why they went out and voted. So this seems to fit in with her book on Into the Cannibal's Pot, because she apparently believes that what is happening in America is exactly what happened in South Africa. And if we continue down that path, our country will end up the same way. Once you realize that what's driving this is not really the minority groups, they're not the ones who are driving it. The ones who are driving it are the white socialists and communists, the Marxists, who want to use these minority populations, foreigners really, to attack their enemies in the West, to try and seize control of all these different countries. I mean, this is basically what the communists are doing. They're employing foreign armies against their opposition. And this is an ancient practice we're going to talk about here as we go forward. But first, I want to play this clip from Michael Moore, when Michael Moore was being interviewed on a late night program with Seth Meyers. And here's what he said. Listen to what he said. Basically about white people just needing to give up and hand over their countries. Listen.
But they are fanatical about this because they know their time is up. And it's sort of the angry white guy, which actually I'm really Trump's demographic.
Cause yeah. Michigan angry white guy.
I'm an angry white guy over 50 with a high school education. So that's me.
Yeah.
So if I could just speak to my fellow angry white American guys who are semi-uneducated like me, dudes, give it up. We've been running the show for 10,000 years. It's like we've had a long run as men running everything.
Right. So this is part of the left wing mythology that white men run everything. That's part of the mythos that they tell. Now, Michael Moore does go on in this interview to talk about women, letting women be in charge and this kind of thing. But his attack against white males in particular needing to, quote, give it up because your time is over, supposedly. It is, I mean, it's essentially the same thing that has been argued and continues to be argued in South Africa and in other parts of Africa as well, where the whites have been driven out. And let's understand something. The idea historically that Africa belongs only to black people is just a ridiculous assertion. I mean, that would be like saying that America should only belong to whites and you should drive out the blacks. Then some would say, well, wait a minute, blacks were brought here as slaves. Well, whites, many whites, 1 to 2 million whites were brought to Africa as slaves by the black and Arab Moors who sailed up and down the coastlines of Europe and kidnapped hundreds of thousands of white people, 1 to 2 million of them, and brought them back to Africa and bought and sold them in the white slave trade. So you can't do that for hundreds of years and then say, okay, well, now we don't want white people here anymore. Well, wait a second. You brought them there by force the same way that blacks were brought to America from Africa. So if blacks have a right to be in America, whites have a right to be in Africa. It's the same argument. But of course, the globalists and mainstream media and the Marxists in our schools and universities and so on, they have rewritten the historic records to give a very edited and slanted, dishonest view of history. Why? Because they want to get control of the Western world. And they're using race as a weapon of psychological warfare. And often talking, I mean, you see a lot of our young people in the schools and the colleges, they're convinced by their professors that white culture is bad, it's evil, white culture needs to die, it needs to cease to exist, etc. All of this rhetoric, this anti-white rhetoric, they've come up now with this whole concept of white privilege, and who knows what white privilege is? You can't even figure it out. It's just another argument to foment racial agitation and hatred between people, and to use this agitation to try and overturn the core population of America. That is what they're trying to do, just like they did in South Africa, just like they did in Rhodesia. But I would point even, I've done this over and over again, I would point to things like the Rwanda genocide, and to remember that Marxists there wanted the power and the wealth from the Tutsis, who were Christians, and they were black. And they used racial propaganda against the blacks from the Hutus, who were also black, and they demonized the Tutsis, who were black, and ultimately mass murdered 800,000 of them. All as part of a Marxist desire to get control of what the Tutsis had. Same thing against the Jewish people in Germany and parts of Europe during World War II. The Nazis used racial agitation and hatred against the Jews to seize their wealth and whatever power they had. Okay? So we have to recognize it really doesn't matter what the race is. When you've got socialists and communists involved, they are using race as a weapon. And this is not something new, brethren. This is what I wanted to point out on our show. This has quite a history to it. And it's interesting to me that the conditions in America right now are almost identical to what was going on just prior to the American Revolution. I want to read the original parts of the original Declaration of Independence and the grievance against King George III, the grievances that were listed. And this is the unedited version, the original one put together by Thomas Jefferson. And here's what he said about what King George III was doing, how he was using the American Indians and the blacks who had been brought from Africa as a weapon against the American colonists. All right, so here's what it says in the unedited draft of the Declaration of Independence. It says, quote, he, meaning King George, quote, he has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions of existence. Then he goes on to say, quote, he has incited treasonable insurrections of our fellow citizens with the allurements of forfeiture and confiscation of our property. Confiscation of our property. Think about South Africa. That's what they're right now. Confiscate the land. Then it goes on to talk about how he, the king, has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him. They're talking about the African people, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere or to incur miserable death in their transportation hither. And then it goes on from there. And then it says, he is now exciting those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he had deprived them by murdering the people upon whom he also obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed by the liberties of one people with crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of another. Now, I would argue, brethren, that that is exactly what's happening in our country today. The same powers who were responsible for the slave trade and all of the abuses of the former generations, the Democrats, the Muslims, and with them the Jesuits and the Vatican, those powers that were behind slavery, that supported slavery during the American Civil War, are now turning and they want to stir up all of this racial hatred against the people who resisted slavery. And with them, they're using all of these immigrants that they're bringing in from Mexico and the Honduras and this kind of thing. They're basically doing, the globalists, the socialists, the Marxists in our system, are doing the same thing that King George III did during the time of the American Revolution. It's the same tactic. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.